The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
When you see me, I don't know if you see me, but I was writing some things down from the message, from what we was doing in praise and worship. Can I come up here on the top? It ain't often I get to come up here. I'm not going to stay here. I'll probably be back in there by y'all. But I need a. What I want to do is I want to try to stay on course if I can. Just tell you what happened. I guess about first it says where the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I want to go where the Spirit of the Lord is. And I know where He's at right now, because He took me about. He started me in one place. And I was asking the Lord, what is it He wanted me to minister on? What you want to give? What do you want to talk about? What is it that you want to say? Because I've really been, it's been hard for me to press in lately. You know, so took out my my CDs, you know, the Bible on, you know, cassette on CD. Stuck it in my truck. In the past 3 weeks, I've been listening to it. An hour to work and an hour back. Hour to work, hour to back. It was hard. Because I couldn't, you know, I know y'all, everybody kind of goes through the same. You ever try to open your Bible up and you read and you're like, oh my God. And you just close that thing and you're like, I need some help, you know. Because it's not in our ability, it's in our availability. It's in God's ability to work through us to do and desire and whatever it is, His will. So, man, all of a sudden I was sitting down and I asked the Lord, you know, what is it you want? He says, well, what is it that you're looking for? And I said, I'm looking for Jesus. And I kind of titled that on my book, on my notebook, Looking for Jesus, you know. And this is how it all got started. So I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to go look for Jesus. So what I did was, and I'll probably run up there and grab my notebook and stuff like that. But what I did was I went back to the beginning. And a lot of people say, you know, like we just had this meeting we had, and we're in this pastor's class and stuff like this, and this guy says, I got to get up there and say a little something. And he says, hey, Rob, are you going to give it to us in Aramaic? You know? Well, I know you ain't going in the New Testament. You're going to stay in that Old Testament, you know? And I have a passion for God's, hit the whole Word, but I enjoy looking for Him. You know, and you know the Old Testament or the old, you know, Torah, it's concealed and the New Testament is revealed. This is, you know these things. So in the midst of all of these things, and, I went back to Genesis. And the Lord, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, had showed me something I ain't never seen before. And it was amazing, and I'm going to go back to, I wrote down the things that Brother Jim had ministered on. It was perfect, where our spirits are definitely in line again. Amazing. And when I went there, I'll just tell you, it says, I'll try to get started here. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember the first song? It was about creation. It's my first scripture that I have up there. You know, it's Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, you know. And God speaks of the 7 days of creation and how He created the earth. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to hit on just, and I'm going to go through, I'm going to take you down a path like I told you before, and then I'm going to go to another thing, which is going to lead me to what it is the Lord wanted to say to you today. Not to you, but to everybody. So here I'm in Genesis, and I'm looking, and it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. When He had said that, a lot of you know this, Because if you go to John chapter 1 and you go to Colossians, it says that nothing was made that was made. All things that was made by Jesus, by Yeshua. So I'm like, now I'm looking for Jesus, okay? So I found him in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. Because the sun, the S-U-N, wasn't created till the fourth day. So the first light that was created was God, who is not in, you know, in time. And that was pretty good. But something hit me and it blew me away. And it says in that light, he separated. When that light came in, there was a separation between the light and the darkness. And then it says, and the first work that God did, if you think about it, was the work of separating. It was a separation of light and darkness. Then on day two, you know, he says, and he divided, again, the waters from the waters, and he called the earth out. He called the land out of the waters, in the midst of the waters. And there was another separation going on. Then it said on the third day, he said, let the earth bring forth fruit. So I'm like, and then he hit me. If you know anything about the earth and anything about the Lord, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has encrypted and hidden things in there because he wants you and me to search him out. Those who seek me will find me. Those who diligently seek me. So if it's a pass-by kind of thing, you know, well. But anyway, I was like, golly, the earth is made up of 70% water, 30% land. Wait, the human body is made up of 30% flesh and 70% water. So the actual, and even to go, the earth had to be baptized to be made clean. And the Bible says you and me must be baptized. So, and then I backed up to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit hovered over the waters. And then the light comes in. And then God said, let there be light. I'm like, wow. It's exactly what happens to us. The Spirit moves on an individual who's out here. It's his work. He's preparing the waters in the earth to receive the light, which is Jesus. And when that light comes in, when the Spirit moves on us, that light, which is Jesus, comes in, there's a separation between light and darkness in us. I was like, my God, hidden right there in, listen to this, the birth of the earth, God showed me, versus the birth of a newborn believer. The same way God created and gave birth to the earth is the exact same thing that happens to us. And then, when the work of separation had happened on the second day, as the earth and you and me, he says on the third day, he don't suggest the earth to produce fruit. He commands the earth to produce fruit. So here you have the Spirit moved, the hovered over the waters. There was a separation. The light comes in. The earth accepts Jesus, comes in, there's a separation, right? And then he commands, once that happens, he separates the light from the darkness, and then he commands us, once that process happens, to produce fruit. The same work that happens to you and me. I could take you further there. Watch this. We know, and what I'm doing is I'm baiting you. Is it good? I'm fishing hard right now, just a little bit though. We're going to go and look for Jesus. Okay? And then on the fourth day, everything that's in there, there's so much I want to give you. But on the fourth day, the Bible says, we know, in 2 Peter 3:8, the Lord says, There's one day as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In fact, it says, Peter's in the end times. And he says, be not ignorant of this one very thing. Peter is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He's talking about the Lord's return. Okay? It's in context. Be not ignorant, meaning, hey, listen up. Don't miss this one thing. Because I'm fixing to tell you something. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years on earth. And 1,000 years on the earth is as one day with the Lord. Okay? Something like Psalms 90, verse 4. David says, oh, but one day is as 1,000 years unto you, O Lord. Now watch. You have unbelievable right there. I'm going to give you a little more in depth. There's only two people that held the keys in the Bible. Peter, I give to you the keys of the kingdom, and David, he had the key. He who holds the key of David. So we fix into unlock a mystery of something God wants to give you. Those two guys say that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The S-U-N came on the fourth day of creation. Okay? The S-O-N came from Adam to Noah was 2,000 years. From Noah to when Jesus, the light, came into the world was 2,000 years. He came on the fourth day. You hear me? He's just repeating himself. Okay. Looking for Jesus. So when I seen that, I said, okay, Lord, wrote it down, Genesis. The next thing I went to, and I'm going to follow my paper. The way it started was, I had read something, and it's hard to put it all back together again, but the way the Lord was taking me, when I went looking for Jesus, in John chapter 5, verse 39, bring that up, John 5, verse 39, Jesus says, I got a lot to say and a short time to say it. And I want to make sure you get it all because I don't want you to leave out of here hungry. Because we're going to put the food in the trough. Now, if you want to eat it or not, it's up to you. Jesus says, and he's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, if you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. All of the scriptures in the Torah, in the prophets, in the Psalms, all of it speaks of Jesus. Can you find him? We know the basics, but that quest that I went on years ago, not even now more, he's showing me way from the very beginning. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. From there, I really don't even need this. From there, I told you I wasn't going to stay up there on the thing long because I need to be. But anyway, I said, okay, Lord, where else? So I went to the next place I found Jesus. Not only did I find him right in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, but then I found him. You know, he was Adam. Jesus in Colossians was the second man, Adam. Him, a tie into the New Testament. So Adam was symbolic to Christ. I found him again. Okay? In fact, when Jesus was everything that he created, I don't know if I told y'all this, but when Jesus came down here, he hung the mountains in his scales in Isaiah. He was the one who did it all. He is the one who formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and made a man that looked identical to him. Remember I told y'all that? I told y'all that, right? There he is again. Genesis 1:25, let us. There he is again. Adam is put out of the garden because of sin. We're going to come back to that. But when he's put out of the garden, the first two that we know that's birthed in the earth is Cain and Abel. Now we can get into theology and I can, you know, technically, there was from Adam to Noah was 1,656 years. where's the other years? You said it was 2,000 years. Well, God said in the beginning, when he created Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The word replenish means to fill up. Hebrew means to fill up. So just a thought, when God created Adam and Eve, how long was they in the garden before they was put out? Because we only hear about the firstborn when they was kicked out of the garden, which was Cain and Abel. It is of my opinion, 1656 years. We can follow the lineage from Adam to Noah. Know that it's exactly 1656 years. I believe the missing days, 1656, about 350 years, that Adam and Eve was in the garden prior to the fall. What was going on then? Was Adam and Eve being disobedient? Who did Cain go off and marry? Anyway, a little thought, just kid. Listen to this. That's what the Lord does to me. Throws things at me. What do you think? I don't know. I don't know. Tell me. No, search. But anyway, then Cain and Abel is born. Well, Jesus said that Abel was righteous. There was none righteous but Christ. And then I'm like, I'm looking for Jesus now. Okay? Cain is a tiller of the ground. We know because Adam's sin is what put the second man, Adam, on the cross. Right? Okay. The first man, Adam, was a tiller of the ground. And Jesus was a shepherd. Two Adams. Eve, who, listen to this, goes back to what I was saying before. When they kicked out of the garden, he names her there. Your name shall be Eve, because in the beginning her name was Adam. Because you are the mother of all living. Living, who's living? Cain and Abel ain't even born yet. Why would he call her Eve? But anyway, need to stay on track, Miss Rose. I get off. Listen. So, the first two that Eve gives birth to is Cain and Abel. The first man, Adam, is a tiller of the ground. Remember, he's put out, thorns and thistles shall you work the ground. First two sons that are born, Cain is a tiller of the ground, just like his dad. And Abel is a shepherd, just like Jesus. Abel's name means breath or life. Picture of Jesus. Jesus is our breath and life. Cain, his name, Adam killed Jesus. Cain, tiller of the ground, killed Abel. Cain's name means smith or metal spear. He pierced his brother, Abel. Cain's sin of knowing what to do, which was right, because God had told him, Cain, you know what you should be doing, but you choose not to. Your brother Abel knows what to do. You see, God would only accept one thing. Most people go off on that little thing. Cain's Abel just wasn't acceptable because he didn't bring his first fruits. Wrong. El wrongo. You go back to the Hebrew, you find out. And you look at the genealogy that when God went in there and tore that hide off of that lamb, he said, this is blood is the only thing that I'm going to accept. And Cain was using his works to try to offer it to God. And God said, no way. Do what your brother did. I can't do that. And Jesus is on the cross. And they pierce him with a spear, a metal spear. There it is. I found Jesus in Abel. Again, the hidden picture. God all the way from the beginning. The next thing I found in Genesis from the 10 generations from Adam to Noah. You know that. I read that to y'all. Adam begot Seth. Seth begot Enos. Enos begot Kenan. Kenan begot Mahalia. Mahalia Jared. Jared Enoch. Enoch Methuselah. Methuselah Lamech. Lamech Noah. Their names set a picture. Jesus, second man Adam, you know, that would come down and would be crucified. He'd be killed. And we would be translated. He'd rule and reign with a rod of iron and would come final rest. There he is again. Now, this is what the Lord is doing with me, and I'm writing these things down. I'm writing it down. Things I already know, but he's like, I'm writing it down. Okay, I'm going. Okay, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I see. What's the next? Then I go, I said, wow, Father Abraham, we know after the 10 generations, if you know the Bible, you got the creation. You know, after creation, you got Adam, found Jesus in a creation, found him in Adam, found him in Noah. You know, I missed a bunch. There's a lot up in there that I missed. Then after Noah, you know, you have the Tower of Babel, which speaks of the rebellion. And I'm not going to get into that, but that's linked into the end times. Nimrod, the mighty warrior, symbolic to Satan, gathers up an army of people to build a tower that exalts itself. Same sin as Satan. And then the next one on the scene is Father Abraham. That one, I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. That here, Father Abraham's called out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, and we're looking for Jesus. This is good stuff here I'm fixing to give you. Abraham, his wife dies. He has a son named Isaac. Okay? Isaac, we know, Father Abraham is symbolic to God. Isaac is his son, who is symbolic to Jesus. And he says, listen, I want you to go, and I want you to go look for a son. You know, look for a wife for my son. I've looked and looked and looked and looked and looked for the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and I finally found him. You know, it talks about the Holy Spirit. Most people don't notice. God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he carries non-gifts. You know, Jesus gave gifts too. Jesus gave 5 gifts: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the preacher, teacher. So not only does the gifts of the Spirit operate, but also there are other gifts that are given to us by Christ, which is the gifts of the Spirit. So when I looked at a picture of Abraham, he brought his servant unto him. And he tells his servant to go get a bride, his number one servant, to go get a bride for his son Isaac and bring him back. So Abraham is a picture of the father. Isaac is a picture of the son. And the servant who's going to get the bride is carrying gifts. The Spirit's bringing gifts. He goes to his mother's house, Nahor. That's correct, I believe. But let me tell you this real quick. This floored me. He not only asked, when I get there, Lord, send me and lead me to the ones that the one you want me to bring back for your son Isaac. He said, when she comes to the well, let her fetch water for me. And very crucial here, the camels as well. And I'm like, Lord, what's up with that? Why the camels? Now, it took a long time. You camels have got to drink. Takes a long time for a camel, approximately a half an hour. Now, watch this. It takes about 30 minutes for a camel to fill up his hump when he's drinking. She had 10 camels. That's about 5 hours of watering. That's a lot of work to sit there. And I said, Lord, what's up with that? And the Lord, he spoke to me. Not only does God, when he's choosing a bride, want us to serve the Spirit in whatever it is that he wills, but the Spirit says, serve my people as well. Because the camels were brought, which carried them there. If you are not serving the people as well, you missed it. You're unqualified. You have to be willing to serve God. That's why the commandment is, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And and love your neighbor as yourself. The camels. So I got a bunch of camels in here. And I'm bringing you to the well, Jacob's well, so you can fill up your hump. But listen, that blew me. I finally found the Holy Spirit. I can say, Holy Spirit, I found you in the Old Testament. Not only him coming down and him prophesying, but it says they call him he, the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? So the servant of Abraham does something that'll just show you how important this stuff is. You know, it says in Ephesians, he says, you know, it talks about the full armor of God. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of spirit, shield of faith, gird about your loins, the belt of truth, shod your shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace. He tells his servant to come and do something, and I'm not being explicit in any kind of way. But Abraham says, come here, I need you to go get me a wife for my son. And he takes his hand and puts it up underneath his inner thigh. The place, the birthing place, the intimate place. Because he is commanding, or he is asking him to do something which is going to produce the children of God. You can't, don't go to the Canaanites, the children of Ham, whose name means rebellion. His name means hot or rebellious. Don't go to them. Go back to my family to produce an offspring, which is us, the children of God. Here's something that'll blow you away. Well, blew me away. Looking for Jesus. Isaac, you know, Isaac. Abraham considered Isaac dead, straps the wood on, looks at a three-day journey to Mount Moriah, takes him up on the mount, and then on the third day, God stops him and raises him up, the Bible says. Right? I'm like, whew. Brings him back. His mother dies. He needs to be comforted. He is 40 years old when the Holy Spirit goes and looks for a bride. I'm like, 40 years old. What is that, Lord? Jesus was cut off at 33. Jesus must fulfill the last of the 7 years of the tribulation. 33 and 7 is 40. Isaac received his bride when he was 40 years old. Jesus is going to marry us when he is 40 years old. Man, that is good stuff. So I found Jesus again in the marriage. And then he told me when I'm going to get married. I'm like, all right, when's the 7 years? Come on. Do you know what it is? Just tell me, Lord. No, search the scriptures. Ty is. If you really want him, you're going to look for him. Plain as day. So remember, this whole message that I'm creating and looking at, I wrote, are you looking for Jesus? Or I put looking for Jesus. Then I put at the top, are you looking for Jesus? Then I went from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. After Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know the story. It says Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs, Israel is expanded. And the last one is Joseph, and he's in Egypt. Joseph absolutely just floors me. There is so much in his life that is symbolic to Christ. Most of you already know it. He went from the pit to the prison to the palace. Okay, Jesus went in the grave, which was the pit, you know this. He went into the prison and set the captives free in the earth. And then he went to the right hand of the Father, which is in heaven. You know what Pharaoh told Joseph? During this time of famine and all the stuff that's going on? To show you even further, he tells Joseph, who is symbolic, not only in that he was a dreamer, His name was Zaphnath-Paneth. His name means revealer of secrets. The Bible says, call unto me and I'll show you. Jesus said, I'll show you the hidden things, the things you know not of. So here Joseph is in Egypt, who is symbolic to Jesus. He goes from the pit. His brothers disown him, reject him. He's got a coat made of many colors, which is symbolic to the red, yellow, black and white, that they took the ram's blood or the goat's blood and put it and smeared it all over the vesture. The same bloody vesture that Jesus, when he hung on a cross, had died for the red, yellow, black and white, the coat. They put, it was smeared. It's an exact same picture. Well, then I found him when he's the baker and the cupbearer in prison. Jesus went into prison to set the captives free. His brothers despised him and rejected him and killed him. Despised and rejected him and threw him in a pit. They took Joseph out of the pit, and then through temptation, a lie, the enemy wants to kill him, he's in prison. Now when he's in prison, Jesus was in the ground, dead, in the pit. He goes to prison. Well, when Joseph's in prison, what does he do? He sets the captives free. Listen how he does it. There's two men in there. He's the revealer of secrets who has a dream. And he said, I had a dream. There was three vines before me. You know it? You know the story? Let me tell you the story. He says, there were three vines before me. And then I dreamt that I was squeezing the grapes back into Pharaoh's cup. Joseph said, it's easy. Yet in 3 days shall you be raised up and brought back into the Pharaoh, and you'll be serving him, given he's a wine taster. You'll be restored by the wine back unto Pharaoh. The bread man comes. Bread is always symbolic to the flesh. He has a fleshly dream. I dreamt there was three baskets of baked meats. Actual translation is baked breads. Upon my head. And the birds of the air came and began to take out the bread that was for Pharaoh. Well, if you know, you go into the New Testament. It says that when the sower went out to sow, the birds of the air came down and devoured the seed that was sowed. And then he gives the interpretation. If you don't understand this parable, listen, you won't understand none of them, he says. The sower who went out to sow was God. And he was sowing the word. And the birds of the air, the fowls that came down and took it, was Satan. Back to Joseph, he's in prison. He says, easy, yours is this. Yet in 3 days, you shall be hung, your flesh shall be hung on a tree. You shall be put to death. Right there, Jesus was hung on a tree, and it was the blood of the new covenant that set, what's his name, free from the prison. Remember that? The cupbearer. So I'm like, I'm looking for Jesus, and the Lord is showing me all of these things. I'm going to give you one more. Because I stopped, because then he started taking me another way. After Joseph comes Moses, the deliverer. Remember? Moses, the children of Israel, was in bondage for 430 years. Right? Yeah. Moses comes. God gives him a sign. He's in Egypt for 40 years. Leaves and goes before the mountain of God. While he's there, God gives him, I want you to do something when you go before Pharaoh to let my people go. This is what I want you to tell them. Tell them to let my people go. What I'm going to do, there's any kind of sign, throw down your staff. But there's two other ones he gave as well. He said, if you don't believe the first one, he said, the next one I want you to do is I want you to take your hand, and the word is bury it in your coat and pull it out and show it to him. And it was leprous, white as snow. The flesh, leprosy is dead flesh. Then I want you to take it and put it back in and then pull it back up, pull it back out. And it was resurrected. It was perfect. The third one was pour the water out and it's going to turn blood. So you have the serpent, the snake, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the thing, and the blood. Blood, water and blood flowed out of Christ's side. That's the one. He said, the only sign that you're going to receive besides the sign of Jonah is just as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be raised up. So here you see the raising up of the cross with Moses showing Pharaoh what's going to set the people free. Then you see the resurrection of the dead, and you see the water flowing out of him being raised up. The three signs he was commanded to show Pharaoh and the people. Now listen to this. I was like, when I got to this point, it took a turn. Listen to this. We'll go back to Joseph. Here's where everything flipped on me. So just like Brother Jim said, kind of three different things, I just gave you phase one, if you want to call it phase, the first route God was taking me. And I hit like a dead end, bump, and I just seen another arrow taking me off another way. Seeing all of these things were a picture of Jesus. I noticed a few things. Went back to Joseph. Joseph, when they had come to Joseph, there was a great famine in the land. And it says that when he came to him, Joseph, after being despised and rejected and all of these things, God had made a way to preserve his people through Joseph. Because of the great famine that was coming on the land, and God raised his people up amongst heathens, just like you and me. He's growing us up. Then one day, after being in bondage for 430 years, just as Jesus came from Malachi to Matthew, 400 years, he was 30 when he began his ministry, he come and set him free. He's going to do it again. Watch. Here, and this floored me. Remember I told you about the end times? We're shifting. I'm bringing you into the end times. Where we at? They came to him. He reveals himself to his brethren during the time of a great famine. He tells his brothers, we have been in the famine 2 years. We're starting the third year. Come and be with me. The famine was to last 7 years. Tribulation, famine, 7 years. Remember the marriage? It's got to be fulfilled. What's going on? When I seen it, I'm like, Lord, are you going to reveal yourself to your Jewish brothers midway through the tribulation? And they're going to realize when the beast breaks the covenant that Jesus was the Messiah who they despised and rejected, killed, and did all these things as they done unto Joseph. But yet God sent him forth to prepare their way that he can reveal himself to them in the midst of a famine. I'm like, oh, hold on a second. Wait. Which, famine? You want me to go tell these people famine? I'm like, hold on a second. I went searching for Jesus and I found him. So if I went looking for Jesus and I found him, the places I found him when he was coming back, it's got to be a famine. Because if there ain't no famine, then it ain't no good. So I backed up. I said, okay, I remember where I found you at. I remember where I found you coming. Adam to Noah, 2,000 years. Adam was put out of the garden. He could no longer hear God. There was a famine of the word. Wow. Then the seventh, it says it, the seventh from Adam, on the seventh, Enoch breaks the silence. He is Jude chapter 1, put it up there, Jude chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Jude is a preacher of righteousness. They were starving for the word of God. There was none. The only one that told them about God was Adam. God wasn't speaking anymore. The seventh from Adam and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Behold, the Lord cometh. Look here, Jimmy. You hear what I'm saying? You see these things that are happening right now all around us. People are scared. They're buying guns. They're buying ammunition. They're panicking. You know why? Because Jesus is coming and they don't even know it. Man, son, man, I'm like, this is a good route to take me, Lord. I like this. And I'm like, in Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, who, Enoch, who's coming back? The two olive trees in the tribulation, Elijah and Enoch. What's going to be happening when Elijah and Enoch comes? Hold it. Don't get excited. Enoch, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. This is at the end of the tribulation. And to come convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch, 5,000 years ago, was preaching. You need a spit shield. Come and spit the spit all over you in here. Enoch was preaching Jesus is coming. 5,000 years, he ain't even died on a cross yet. And he's saying, there's a great famine in the land. And I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Get ready. Man, that's not the best. Boy, he took me on a trip. Then, he connected the dot. I seen Enoch. And I'm like, now what about Elijah? Enoch, there was a famine. Moses, who is symbolic to Jesus, right before the end, says he was a preacher of righteousness. Listen, the boat could have held twice the animals that was on the ark. The boat was made not only for the animals, but for those who would believe the word that was coming forth to come into the ark.
destruction is coming. It's fixing to come. He preached righteousness. What does that mean? Right standing with God. Repent. And come into the ark. I'm like, Lord. Everybody is talking about the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah must come. I'm fired up now, Bubba. The spirit of Elijah must come before Jesus comes back. Jesus said that John was the Elijah to come. But let me back up. When Elijah came, there was 3.5 years of no rain. There was famine in the land. And his assistant, Elisha, his name is Jesus. Elijah goes and calls a man by the name, right during this famine time, he calls a man. God says, not Elijah, God says, Elijah, go throw your mantle on Elisha, who's plowing the field with 12 yoke of oxen, who Jesus plowed the field with 12 disciples. My God, son! He said, Jesus is fixing to come, Elijah. I'm taking you away. And he is going to take over. You hear it? Man. Elijah, you asked for the spirit of Elijah. Do you know what you're asking for? The spirit of famine. Listen. Perfect scripture, Brother Jim put up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He'll direct your paths. First scripture. He said it was a crazy, kind of put together kind of day. You better believe it was crazy. Because I went searching for Jesus. And then He brought me and showed me this. And that ain't it. I said, remember I went back looking? Found it. I went, Abraham was symbolic to you, Father. You know what? And Isaac was symbolic to Jesus. And you went to go get a bride for him. You sent Eleazar the prophet, my servant, to go get the bride. Thank you, Miss Ruiz. If that's true, there had to be a famine in the land. There had to be a famine in the land when you went looking for a bride for your son. God always confirms everything by 2 or 3 witnesses. I went to Genesis 24, read the whole story of how he sent Eleazar, his servant, to go get a bride. I didn't see the famine. Man, I'm like, you know why I didn't see the famine? Because I didn't turn the page. I'm serious. Now let me read it to you. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. Genesis 24 and 25 is all about the marriage. Genesis 26. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Ay, ay, ay. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. That means when Father Abraham sent Eleazar to go get a bride for Isaac, there was a great famine in the land. Man, then I said, I'm going to the New Testament. Jesus is coming. They said there was a famine in the land from in the Old Testament of Malachi. God shut up the heavens, did not speak to man for 400 years. Until the prophet John came and broke the silence. There was a famine in the land. And when they come to him, they said, John, are you Elijah to come? He said, no. But when they killed him, in John 5, it says, Jesus says, if you can forbear it, John was the Elijah to come and you missed it. The spirit of Elijah is famine. And then Jesus. Where is your faith? They're talking about right now, the government is storing food everywhere. The farmers I seen on the news, or heard about on the news yesterday, they're screaming to the governor, you told us, the government told us not to plant and you've been paying us. Where's our money? Now we got no equipment, we got no money to buy seed to plant into the ground. Big buddy, government is not going to take care of you. Go back to Joseph. Joseph supplied, put things on a side, who's symbolic to Jesus, and gave out seed to his brethren to sow that they might live. Listen to this. I'm like, Lord, what? I get here. And then he says, what was the message of Elijah? Wait. John, symbolic to Elijah, he was a preacher of righteousness. His message was to turn and repent. Third phase. God took me from looking for Jesus. I'm going to give him looking for Jesus. I want you to tell him there's going to be a famine in the land. You hear me? There's a great famine coming. And is already here. Spiritually and physically. Then when I got here, after he told me that, I said, Lord. He said, but I want you to tell them something. I want you to tell them to trust in me with all their heart. Though you see everything happening and falling apart and all these things, trust in me, says the Lord. I'll give you seed to sow. I'll give you food. I'll give you water. Trust in me. I said, what do you want me to tell them? He said, I want you to tell them to repent. That's what I want you to tell them. John came preaching repentance. John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard, and that they baptized more disciples than John. Go ahead. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. Hold on a second. Let me see if I put the wrong scripture, brother. I don't want to miss anything. All right, I missed it. Wrong scripture. Anyway, so I'm like, repentance. Knowing, do I have a couple of minutes left, brother? I was like, knowing the Hebrew customs and where we're at right now, I told you that I knew where the Spirit of the Lord was. And he just showed it to me again. And I say this all the time. Right now, we're about 30 days away from Passover. April 8th or 9th is Passover. The Hebrew, in Israel, they got what they call Teshuvah. It's 40 days prior to Passover. They got what you call Teshuvah. Teshuvah means to repent, to turn and repent. It means to examine yourselves to see if you're really in the faith or not. To examine yourselves to see where you really are. If you're truly trusting and believing in Him. What they do is, 40 days before this time, they begin to check themselves. The day before Passover, they got what they call, Bedeket Hemetz, which is the search for leaven in the house, unleavened bread in the house, which is symbolic for you and me to be searching our own house. Like Paul said, search to see if you're in the faith. And are you serving the camels as well? That's what God, Bedeket Hemetz, is this. The day before Passover, the father of the house, the mother will go around the house and hide 10 pieces of unleavened bread, bread with yeast in it. Then the father, the day before, after they clean the house out, but they got these 10 pieces, the father takes a lamp, a feather, and a spoon, a wooden spoon. And the father takes the children, and they walk through the house with the light looking for the bread. And when they find the bread, they say, "Father, here is bread. Here, look. The father bends down, takes the feather, and scoops it ever so gently on a spoon, puts it on that spoon, that wooden spoon, wraps it in a white cloth after they've found all the bread, and he takes it and casts it out of the house. The father is God. The feather, the dove came down as the spirit is the spirit, and the wooden spoon is Jesus who bore your sins. The father and the lamp in Psalms is the light, which is the word, a light into our path. The father has the word. The word shows where the sin is. The spirit places it on Christ. And it was cast out of the house. It's called Bedeket Hemetz. It's called Teshuvah. It's time to turn and repent. So this message that was given was three parts. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for Jesus? Because there's a famine coming. And your sins better be on Jesus. You need to repent and return back unto Jesus. So, are you looking for Jesus? Because He's the one who's going to provide for you. If you turn and repent, you'll find safety in the ark. Listen to this here. This whole thing, the songs that was done today, started off number one, trusting in the Lord. Ain't this what it's about? Number two was my first scripture. The second song was about creation. Remember? Lord of all creation. Then we get into it. Number three, the third song was to
Return back to God. It's the third song. Second song. The fourth song he played, or third song, was Come Lord Jesus. The fifth song talked about the lamb that was slain, repentance. And the last one, are you looking for God in the good times and in the bad? You are God alone in the good times and the bad. Remember? You are on your throne. Do you have that song in your heart even in these times? So the Lord brought me here to give you a message of, let me pray. Father, we come, Lord, and we say, Lord, that Lord, you are still leading and guiding us, Lord, by your Spirit. So, Father, I just lift up, Lord, we all come together as one. And, Lord, we say, Father, we want to be led by you, Lord. We want to look for your Son, Jesus. Lord, in the good times and the bad, Father, we know that you're our provider. In the midst of the famine, Lord, I speak peace over the people that are here. Our peace is Jesus. Our peace is not in guns. Our peace is not in ammunition. Our peace is not in food. Our peace is not in water, for those things are things of the flesh. But, Father, our peace is in you. If we're in that boat, if we're in that ark, and that's where we need to be, Father, safe and secured under the shadow of the Almighty, Father. Psalms 91, Lord, to trust in you, Father, with everything. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the gifts that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for your gift, Jesus, number one. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've sent who bears 9 other gifts. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the preachers, and the teachers for the perfecting of the body, for the edification of the saints. That's what we're here for, to edify. Lord, this big puzzle that holds, you can see the whole thing, Lord, where we only see pieces, but we see Jesus in the middle, and that's what's most important. So, Father, we're looking to him, the author and finisher of our faith, to complete the work, Father, that you've begun in us, Lord. I thank you for showing up and helping us, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would begin to speak into each of their lives, Lord, showing them what it is that you want them to do. Lord, first, you always deal with our spirit. Not that you don't care about our flesh, because your word says it's here today and gone tomorrow. But Lord, you care for our infirmities, our sicknesses, and all that we go through, Lord. But the first most important thing is, Lord, we need to repent and be right with you, Father. So this time, Lord, of Teshuvah, which is a call to repentance, Lord, we want to check ourselves to see, Lord, like your word says, to see whether we're in the faith or not. Faith just simply means to trust in you, Lord. Believing in you. Hearing and follow. Believe means to hear and follow. Are you hearing and following the Lord? So, Lord, I'm just a messenger, Lord. I fall in the same category. I'm a camel like everybody else. And I need the same forgiveness. I need to check myself, Lord. Most of the time, some of us, we receive things and we think it's just for the people. I'm a preacher and you give me something and yeah, I'm going to share it with the people. But you say, no, son, it's for you. It's for you. And then you remind me, Lord, of the story of Jonah. Everybody, as Jonah was in the belly of the whales 3 days and 3 nights, your whole, you said when you return, it's going to be as in the days of Jonah. Well, what did you tell Jonah to do?
to go and tell the Gentiles to repent. It was a message of repentance. So Lord, I'm asking You that You would help us repent. By Your Spirit, that He would come and help us, Lord. I thank You, Father, for giving me the opportunity, Lord, to come here again. And just share, Father, Your goodness. Your mercy. I appreciate all You're doing, Lord, in our families. I thank You, Lord, for the testimony I heard this morning with the provision of a job. Lord, we're Your children, and I'm saying that we want You to come. But I know if we go into great famine, we're going to be screaming for You to come back. And You said You're not going to come back until the bride, till the Spirit and the bride says, come. We're caught up in so much. We're polluted with the world and everything it has to offer. We really don't even know, Lord, what true Christianity is. Help us, Lord, to get rid of the things that veil You from us, to become more like You, Father. So I tell You, Lord, I welcome the famine so that it will help me. So, Father, I just lift up these people, myself, the brothers and sisters that are homesick. And I thank You, Father, for Your goodness. Thank You for Jesus. I thank You, Father, because You says, it pleased You to crush Your Son for me and for us. I can't even comprehend that. We think about Jesus. We think about Isaac. What about You? And I know it's You're one and the same, but You're my Father. And just as Joseph was set on the right-hand side of Pharaoh, Pharaoh said that Joseph I'll only be greater than Joseph in my throne. That's a picture, because Jesus sits on your right-hand side, but yet He is You. Go figure that. Lord, we need You, Father. We need You, Lord. I love You and thank You for Your word. Thank You for the acceptance. Thank You for the Spirit that's here. Lord, and I say peace. Peace I come and peace I leave, Jesus here. Amen. Amen and amen. Be blessed, brother.